Our New Testament reading is from the first gospel of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It can be found on page 683. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning we begin what will be the first of four sermons on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous collection of teachings, and it's found in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. It is one of five sermons or five collections of Jesus' teachings that are lumped together in the Gospel of Matthew. We find these teachings in other Gospels as well, but Matthew chooses to bring them together as a sermon. And this is the Sermon on the Mount. I will lead you through the first opening verses, and Pastor Paul will be leading you over the next 3 weeks through the continuation of that sermon. Today we are looking at the Beatitudes, a much-loved passage of Scripture where Jesus highlights some of the greatest blessings offered by God to his people. However, while these blessings are indeed beautiful, powerful, poetic blessings offered to us by Jesus, they are not the kind of blessings we might long or desire to have bestowed upon us. They are what we might consider unwanted blessings. For if we're honest with ourselves, they're not the kind of blessings we would pray for. They're unwanted. They're not curses or woes per se. They're not things that are bad for us. And yet, they're the greatest of blessings. And yes, these blessings, these gifts from God, are more like presents from God that we would rather, in the old Christmas tradition, re-gift to somebody else. Get the gift, wrap it up, and offer it to someone else. You have this wonderful gift of God has given to me. There are 9 Beatitudes listed here, although the 9th is slightly different from the rest, and we'll look at that a little later on. They all begin with the words, blessed are. Some translators translate this Greek word for blessed are as happy are those, or fortunate are those, or favored are those. I like the description of the New Testament scholar, Greg Keener, who suggests that it's like saying, it will go well with those. It will go well with you if, or when. They are intended to be good things. Dare I say, great things. Blessings of God. So let's run down those Beatitudes one at a time. The first is, blessed are the poor in spirit. One translation, the New English Bible, translated as, blessed are those who know their need for God. Eugene Peters' translation, The Message, says, blessed are those that, who are at the end of their rope. When you have no more rope to come down and you're just hanging there and you have no other choices, no other options, no longer strong enough to climb back up and yet not strong enough to just let go. To be poor in spirit has a sense of physical poverty, but it's much deeper than that. This is a blessing offered to the destitute, the beggars before God. Those who find themselves with no other option but God. Their own strength and the supports from others are gone. All they have left is to cling to God. To those is promised the kingdom of heaven. Our second beatitude is offered to those who mourn. Blessed are those who are sad. Blessed are those who are grieving. Blessed are those who are brokenhearted, dare I say, maybe depressed, paralyzed by loss. Eugene Peterson translates it as, blessed are you who feel that you've lost what is most dear to you. Because you will be comforted. The third, blessed are the meek. The gentle spirits among us. The humble. And those who have been humbled. Those who are often seen as easily bullied and victimized. Those whom Eugene Peterson describes as those who are content with just who they are, no more, no less. Those who set aside that competitive drive to have more. Those who are unmotivated by ambition. And pay a price for it in the eyes of those around them. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The next one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who hunger for righteousness and justice. Those who do not worry about unfairness and getting their fair share, but rather hunger for the sake of others. Those less concerned with their personal rights, even when violated, but are more concerned with justice for the other and what is right in God's eyes. Blessed they are, for they will be filled. Number five, blessed are the merciful. Those who, even in the face of injustice, are merciful. Those who understand that righteousness is always tempered with mercy. Those who know that even when God is angry, God is merciful. He is slow to anger, yet abundant in love. Abounding in love and quick to forgive those who repent, those who turn to Him. For they also will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, is our next one. What does it mean to be pure in heart? You see, in Jesus' day, the heart was understood as the center of our will, intelligence, emotions, the center of our wanting, our thinking, our feeling, that center that brought everything together. It wasn't the stuff that demonstrate our romantic love or our emotions. Emotions came from the gut and the bowels. The heart is where we are thinking and our will began to merge with our emotions. It's the place where one's will, one's thoughts, one's emotions were in sync with God. Eugene Peterson describes it as when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. When everything fits together. That's the pure of heart. Scott Underwood's 1995 worship song, Take My Life, includes these lyrics. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. That's what it means to be pure heart. And the blessing for those who are pure in heart is that they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who work for peace, those who pursue peace. Now that doesn't mean that they don't hunger and thirst for what is right and what is just. But they pursue peace to get there. And they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Persecuted for what is right, victimized for God's sake. This is not a blessing for the victorious, but rather for the persecuted. Theirs is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus switches it up a little bit in the ninth beatitude. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Suddenly, it's no longer about those people. Blessed are those out there, those who are poor in spirit, those who are meek, those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are pure in heart, those who are peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for a good cause. No, Jesus now moves from you, from you to you and me. It's no longer about those people. Blessed are you. When people insult you. Blessed are you. When people persecute you. Blessed are you. When they falsely say all kinds of evil against you for Christ's sake. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now I need to ask you all a question about these Beatitudes. The question is this. Who do we raise up as our role models of the faith? Who do we look up to? Who do we aspire to be like in our faith? In other words, if these blessed folk of the Beatitudes, those people referred to, are the cream of the crop, the one that God singles out, that Jesus singles out for special blessing. The best examples we have of the blessed ones of God, those living up to what is expected of all believers, then why are we not seeking to be led by them? Why do we not aspire to be like them? Why are they not leading us in the community of the faithful? What I mean is this. When I look at those we lift up as model Christians and model Christian leaders, we see leaders and preachers that look a whole lot like the successful people outside the church walls. Like the business leaders and the celebrities and the motivational speakers and the social media influencers. People we consider successful. People who have accomplished their craft well. People who could probably be successful no matter what endeavor they undertook. We don't lift up the brokenhearted or the meek or the spiritually exhausted. We don't ask them to speak into our lives and to teach us the way of the blessed life. We don't lift up the peacemaker and the merciful up for praise. Rather, we consider them rather weak and compromising. And yet if we raise up these people who Jesus has raised up before us, we would have a very different view of what it means to live out our faith. My hobby is to fix and build guitars. I've only been doing it for about a year and a half, so I make all kinds of mistakes. What I love about it is I'm learning about everything. I can spend 5 days trying to learn about glue. Good glue and bad glue. And with glues, there are certain instruments you want to make a weak glue. Because you don't want to damage your instrument. Because you see, when you have a crack in an instrument, and when you're gluing back together two pieces of broken wood together, the glue that holds it together at that broken spot becomes stronger than the wood itself. That glue will pull off other pieces of wood, but that piece of brokenness will stay firm. It's stronger than the wood itself. And I think Jesus is telling us something similar to that. He's telling us that when we are broken, we are at our strongest. Because God is most closely connected to us there. I think Jesus is teaching us that in our hardest moments in life, when we are most broken, God draws closest to us. And as strange as it might be, when we remember those moments in our lives when we felt most broken and we felt God most present, it's those memories that sustain us when life gets easy again. And we were reminded that God does indeed exist. God does indeed make himself present to us. When we are poor in spirit, God blesses us by revealing his kingdom to us. When we mourn that which we have lost, God blesses us and comforts us as only He can comfort us in our grieving. When we allow ourselves to be humbled, we are blessed beyond measure. When we hunger and we thirst for what's right in God's sight, God satisfies our desires. Why? Because they are God's will being fulfilled. And we got on board. When we make God the most important thing in our lives, we see God most clearly. When we show mercy to those who have wounded us, God is merciful for our sake as well. When we pursue peace above vengeance, we resemble God's children most closely because we reflect the nature of God in our lives. When we are persecuted for doing God's will, God is working through us and living in us. And when people insult you and persecute you and witness falsely against you because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you understand and experience the reality of Jesus Christ's presence more profoundly than probably any other time, because you're walking a path that Jesus walked. You're walking a path that the prophets walked. You're walking a path that disciples walked. It is where we are broken that we are at our strongest. God's favor, God's blessings are most clearly seen in those hardest of experiences. May God provide us with more of these blessed brothers and sisters into our lives, that they might teach us and share with us what it means and feels like to be blessed by God. Not because they are successful, but because they know God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the many blessings you bestow upon us. As we face what lies before us in this life, O God, give us courage to seek you out in all circumstances. Draw us into the presence of the many who are blessed in the midst of hardship. And open our hearts to receive your blessings when we are at the end of our rope, when we recognize our need for God, our need for you, our need for Jesus Christ. And as we gather together at the table this day, may we do so mindful that we reaffirm again our desire to follow your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.